Give me 1 minute here.
Okay.
Okay. All right, are we recording yet?
Oh, for a while now. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing podcast.
Oh, my God.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Yay. Yep, we're still doing this thing, everyone. Still recording, even though, you know, we can't all be together. We still have to get together or something.
Weird.
Yeah.
We'll all go together all right. when we go.
I was reading an interesting article. Sorry for diving into this immediately, I was reading an interesting article today about artists creating things during this whole quarantine, you know, thing. And, you know,
Are we artists?
What's that?
Are we artists?
I'm coming to that.
Oh, I'm coming to that.
All right.
And they were just talking about, you know, just people, you know, and part of it was like, you know, it was this very uplifting thing where everybody was like, you know, we're still going to do shows, we're just going to do it on the internet. Or people are like, I'm going to write a one-act play and then perform it, you know, do a table reading online and all of this stuff like that. And it started out as this very, like, you know, we're going to continue to be artists and continue creating and continue giving art to the people, even though we can't do it in a theater setting. And it was kind of a counterpoint to that, in which it was kind of saying that, like, so many people got caught up in this, like, we have to put something out there to show people that we're still creating and we're still needed, that they kind of didn't stop to go, should we? You know, in some cases, like some of them was so, and they were talking about, you know, a lot of people who were inspired and sat down and pounded out a script and then immediately got up on Facebook and did a reading for it, and they were like, but the thing with a lot of theater is it's been rewritten and polished and rewritten and rehearsed and you know, there's been a lot of feedback from different sources and stuff like that, and this
the actors have added things
exactly, and this was kind of like, is this really good art that we're putting out, you know? And obviously in some cases it will be, you know, but they were basically like the general, on the whole, people were just putting out something as fast as they could without stopping to go, is this ready yet, you know? And so like, I can see where they're coming from, but at the same time, like, art doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, uber polished in order to be consumed by people. But at the same time, does it bring the whole idea of theater down a little bit if the quality suddenly goes into the shitter and everybody's doing it online? You know, does that mean suddenly everybody's just going to create shitty art and put it online and nobody will go to the theater in the future? You know, that sort of idea. And obviously that's a worst case scenario, but it was kind of that counterpoint of, you know, idea of just putting something online hackneyed as opposed to producing something.
Did the Gutenberg press mean that a ton of garbage got printed?
Oh, absolutely.
It's the internet.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
definitely.
In any age where an advent of technology or necessity creates a wealth of content of any kind, you're going to have miles and miles of dreck, but some people are going to feel inspired or take that specific opportunity to make something that's lasting and permanent.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I think the question isn't, is shitty stuff going to get made? Because yes. I think the question is, can the content that somebody is producing within the confines of the internet be better outside of the internet? Would it be better outside of the internet? And should they be waiting, or should they be presenting what is their current iteration of it.
That.
My experience with artists and you two fellow Fearless members may have similar experience is that an artist can wait for fucking ever. And if they wait until it is good, until it is really, really good, it will never see the light of day.
No, but there's obviously
something
a bell
that
curve.
They produce.
There's a bell curve on it, you know. There's too late, but there's also too early. You know, and it's trying to hit that peak.
I think, for me, I think it depends on what you're trying to accomplish with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it just straight up depends on your ultimate goal.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not advocating for one side or the other necessarily. I was just...
Right. Well, and that's why I'm like, sometimes it does behoove you to wait a certain amount of time to be able to finish conceptualizing a specific aspect. Or here's an example. Say you want to have a stage fight in your show. You should spend enough time on that to make sure that that fight is good.
You should probably practice that a few times.
You shouldn't have 3 hours of practice for a 3-minute fight and call it good.
No.
Like, so I think it depends on what it is that you're doing, what you're trying to accomplish. And there can be, from that urgency of trying to get stuff out right away, there can be some people that could at least put more quality into what they're doing before they put it out. But yeah, the flip side of that is don't wait forever to produce something if it is something that you are intending for an internet medium in whatever state of its existence, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So
when I look at the advent of Flash videos and them being posted online in the early 2000s, all the way back then when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
You calling me old?
I'm calling all of us old. All
you
of us.
You can't be old because I'm not old. And you're younger than me. So if you're
That's
old,
fair.
Just saying.
Yeah, it was I think that
I'm calling your daughter old.
That's fair.
No, she was born old.
I think the point that the author was trying to make is that there was this rush for quantity over quality, and there was a rush to,
to fill a space.
Exactly, just to fill a space and do what you would normally do just on Facebook Live, you know. And is that necessarily a good venue for that? You know, and in some cases, as you said, there's absolutely going to be some situations where that's amazing. You know, I think the Vilification Tennis Show that happened, you know, a couple weeks ago, that was fantastic. I loved that.
I mean, aside from that one guy, but whatever.
I mean, he was a jerk. But you know, I mean,
yeah, Tim is awful.
I'm sorry, but Tim is just going to be in things. It's what he does. But kind of that idea behind, you know, it's we're home and we're artists, and so obviously we need to be creating and we have to show people that we're creating, and so we just need to onto the internet, and it kind of became a quantity over quality thing where people were just kind of because they have to, you know.
Yeah. Penny Dreadfuls, pulp novels, B-movies. I don't know that two robots and some person on a spaceship are going to be watching our Facebook Live improv jams in the future, but I feel like the only way to have a wealth of amazing content is to have an even larger amount of content in any venue for any reason.
But at the same time, just outputting content for the sake of outputting content is how you get mediocrity.
Ed Wood.
I was going to say...
how you get what?
Ed Wood. Plan 9 from Outer Space.
And... Ed Wood.
Yeah,
I still don't understand the reference. I heard Ed Wood, and I was like...
Also that.
I was going to say your average humorist, but, you know, like, I don't know, it's... Like I said, I don't have a side that I'm really coming down on it, but like it was just that idea of pumping the brakes for just a second and going, maybe I should try to create something good as opposed to.
Well, again, go ahead, Jenna.
So I produced this thing every year. You may have heard of it. It's called Die Laughing.
Never heard of it.
Fuck you. And
Klingon.
No, that's the other thing that I'm involved. God damn it. But no, in producing Die Laughing, there have been times where we've just needed something that wasn't fully formed to get up right away because mm-hmm. we do very literally need to fill time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that stuff has been incredible and had no right to be.
Oh, gold.
The joke off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had no right to be funny. Had no right to be as hilarious as it was. And yet, we kept going because it was. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think there... Should you create? Yes. Should you create to fill a void? Maybe. Should you have an expectation that it's going to be gold? No.
Right.
If you are... You have to actualize why it is that you're creating. And if what you are creating is to fill a void, then your end goal is to fill the void.
Right.
And if it is to fill the void to the best of your abilities within a given time limit, then you have to actualize the constraints of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If what you want to do is, the next hit Fringe show, and you're trying to put that together in 2 weeks to produce online, that's not going to happen because it's not Fringe and you haven't put enough time into it, right? Like, so yeah, you have to actualize what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say any goal is a fine enough reason to create, if even therapeutic mm-hmm. creativity. But you just have to actualize why it is that you're creating and set your expectations mm-hmm.
Yeah, Heinlein and a number of other authors who are, despite their personal habits and whoever they were as people, they wrote books that were enormously well liked and that were important to their genre, and like for many of them, they were writing it because they got 20 cents a word. And that was enough to keep a roof over their heads. Like,
oh yeah, was it
publish or perish?
Was it Charles Dickens or was it Lovecraft that was doing that?
I mean, they're all in about the same time period, yeah. But I think you're thinking of Dickens.
Yeah, was getting paid by the word. I think Lovecraft was too. Now that I think, but anyway,
yeah, many people, especially in pulp science fiction,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
Ben is right.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that fall into that. I think you're thinking of the Dickens one, because there was an article on that a few years back about how much longer his stories were than they needed to be. But ways that he found in creativity to lengthen his stories without making it feel like they were longer than they needed.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to introduce a couple more arguments into the discussion.
Sure.
One pro and one con.
Salsa, are you being paid by the word?
I know. I'm trying to make sure this podcast is, not
long enough.
20 minutes.
He's just trying to fill the void. Yeah.
It's the only thing in my life that's long enough. Okay.
Oh my god.
No. So an argument four is the inherent pushback against the capitalization of art, in that art cannot exist unless it is good. That the idea that unless it is good, you shouldn't be doing it. you know, and Oof. And that art is inherently a personal thing, and that by all means create art, make music if it makes you feel happy, paint if it makes you feel happy. It doesn't matter if it's quote unquote good, if it's soothing to your soul and it's a balm to your soul and it makes you feel happy and you want to put that out in the world and say, and you're proud of it and you say, look what I did. You should be able to do that. Absolutely. On the other side of there is the idea of the non-artist public's perception of art, and as an artist, does it behoove us, do we have a responsibility to the community to try to elevate that art in the eyes of the public? Is by giving the people mediocrity, is that lowering the discourse to the point where people trying to create something good just aren't valued because of the dreck, you know, do we have a responsibility to try to take art, theater, writing, poetry, whatever that is, and try to elevate it in the eyes of people, you know, so that
as someone who for a few months every summer tells people some of the worst and most terrible jokes that
but
humankind
has
to offer.
Really well.
We have elevated it.
You have.
To a kind of really stupid art form.
Vilification tennis does the same thing. Vilification
yeah.
tennis, we take stupid shit, but the amount of thought and writing mm-hmm. and overthinking every word, every phrase, everything in there mm-hmm. has
yeah.
taken it and elevated it as an art form. Even though it is
absolutely.
It is a base art form, we have turned into high art by, you know, by trying to elevate it, by trying to make it a better thing, you know. And the same
But as somebody who does that, I feel like you start, no matter mm-hmm. whether you're talking about your career as a whole, as an artist, or whether you are talking about any particular piece of artwork, it always starts out rough. It always starts out needing practice and a shine to be put on it. And the only way to achieve that is through constant application of yourself mm-hmm. to that medium.
No, absolutely. But there was also a lot of writing that went into it beforehand.
Yeah. Eddie Izzard is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Eddie Izzard is a stand-up who very regularly practices his stand-up, and most of it that he does in clubs is just off the top of his head.
Yep.
And he will take the bits that do well, and those become parts in a special. Mm-hmm. Maybe they do.
Yep. Very organically grown, yeah.
And stand-up comics, I mean, Jenna, you are all about this. You spent an enormous amount of your life involved in a lot of different ways with stand-up comedy and with sketches and things like that. You have to create it before it can be polished.
I think that what this conversation is doing right now is applying the general journey of an artist to the production of art as it exists on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's fair. It's not wrong. It is mm-hmm. certainly not wrong, but I don't know that that's addressing the actual question of if we put this out there, is it good enough? Are we bringing down the overall standard of theater by giving more of this outwardly without taking the time mm-hmm. to polish and finish? I feel like those are two separate questions. Like the
yeah.
what's been discussed as far as the journey of becoming a better artist is not the same thing as what's being discussed there. that said, I feel like the question is inherently flawed in that it assumes an objective standard of good.
Yes.
And I disagree with that. I feel that good is, when we talk about good theater, yes, there are certain things that we can point at, but it is also good within the context of how a society exists at that given point in time. Mm-hmm. Things that were good in the 80s are mocked nowadays, right?
Well, yeah.
Things that were good or that carried a specific message during one time is not going to be seen as good. And sometimes we find older things that are now good that didn't used to be. And I feel that saying that we have to be aware of the standard of good within theater, I think that that is something that we all strive for, but that we all have very subjective ideas of what is good. There are certain things that you can point to: story, plot, characterization, dialogue, blah, 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 whatever, that's inherent to any storytelling. But I still feel that you can't objective a subjective term. It's just, that's asking too much of it.
That's fair.
It's not a platonic solid. Yeah. I think I agree. Ideally. Jim Henson's Muppets started with a coffee commercial, and that coffee commercial is awful.
Boy, howdy, yeah. But it sold coffee, so it was a good commercial, which is stupid. But it achieved its goal, which was to sell coffee. Weird.
I think it's up to the audience to decide what goodness is. And there's always an audience. There are people who watch Pink Flamingos, which is monstrous. It really is just
flamingos
an awful film.
Cool.
The film, the John Waters films. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with this film.
I'm not either, but
consider yourself lucky. It really is.
You could pick something like Tiger King or something that might be more, I mean, I haven't seen it.
I have also not seen it.
I have only heard.
I have made a conscious decision not to.
Yeah, I have very much so decided not to watch it.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about it, so I did the like look at the preview on Netflix and went, nope.
No.
I have no desire to watch it. I know that there are some people that are watching it because the state that we are in currently, everything feels like it's falling apart. And sometimes it can be good for somebody's psyche to watch somebody else fall even more apart. I get how people are into that. It's not my thing, and it's never been my thing.
Yeah, me neither.
But I'm also not going to, and I have certain issues with it from what I've heard, but I haven't seen it, so I don't get to judge. And I'm not going to overly judge anybody too much on how they work through their brain shit during this period of the world being on fire. So
also that.
But yeah, no, but not good, right?
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
But is maybe helpful to somebody else in a different mindset.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I do apologize for hijacking that whole thing. It just,
talk about something meaningful.
I had not planned on that at all. But what we were saying just sparked me on a train of, you know, thought, and you all followed me, and I apologize if you want to get off at the next station, that's okay. However, let's roll things back a little bit and find out what everybody's been drinking.
I'm drinking Dr. Pepper with blackberry liqueur in it.
Mm.
It's lovely. I don't have a name for it yet, but I might not name it.
A Dr. Livingston, I presume?
No, I might not name it.
I feel like we've had a Dr. Livingston.
I feel like we have too. I want this to go unnamed for now.
Fair enough. Well, an as-yet-to-be-decided name, if there ever will be.
As the operating name is Dr. Pepper with blackberry liqueur. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
James.
I'm having a rum and Coke, cherry Coke.
Ooh.
Cool. I have a also unnamed, as far as I know. It is ginger ale with Pimm's Number One and some Sailor Jerry.
Ooh, that sounds lovely.
It is quite good. the Sailor Jerry gives it a nice kind of that rum sweetness, and then the Pimm's gives it that herbal, you know, kind of bitters, almost earthiness to it. Brings it down just a skosh. They balance out each other. So
that
just
sounds amazing. Skosh?
What?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it's going to sneak on by you.
What?
Whoa, okay.
What did I say?
You said brings it down just a skosh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know,
that was adorably Midwestern.
Is that a Midwestern thing?
I think so.
I'm willing to bet.
That shows how deep into the forest I am, apparently. Can't see the trees for nothing, I guess. anyway.
So.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, if you have any opinion on art and the state of art in the current situation, and whether people need to pump the brakes just a little bit and try to use this time to create art that will then be, you know, shown afterwards, or if they should just keep pumping out stuff on Facebook as fast as they can. Obviously, this is a false dichotomy that I am creating, but, you know, I'm trying to spark a conversation.
You're a false dichotomy.
I'm trying to spark a conversation. Sue me.
Okay.
But go ahead and leave a comment on Facebook, and, you know, obviously be polite, but I would love to see some conversation around it. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll actually find out what the hell we've been up to. All right?
Yeah.
Cool. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
I got a lot to say about this, yo.
I'm okay with it. All right.
It kind of is the theme of this whole pandemic. Like.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And this is the theme of the pandemic.
But.
So, okay, somebody write that theme song. So, hey, everybody. What you been up to? James, what you been up to?
Making a lot of meals. I'm pan-frying steaks and made some really kick-ass little fruit breads.
Fruit breads? Like raisin bread?
Yeah. Or?
Like fruit cake?
Yeah. Kind of, but better than fruitcake. No, it's
banana bread.
One of the dried fruit packages that we received had a recipe for cranberry orange sweetbread.
Oh yes,
yes. That's
so.
Have had
so we made that, and that's amazing. One of the I'm really appreciating how much quarantine is expanding my repertoire for cooking. It's pushing me to do a bunch of new and interesting stuff.
I agree 100%. After the conversation with Joe a couple weeks ago, I made just a couple days ago, I made shirred eggs with mash, and it was divine. It was so fucking good. Like I made it for it was breakfast for Easter morning. I made that and it was so goddamn tasty. Oh my god. We'll do that again.
Yeah, I've just been eating Chinese food.
I thought your boyfriend wasn't around.
Hey. No, he just calls it food.
That's not what I was referring to, Jenna.
What? Oh, no. That's a... Never mind. So, anyway. no, I ordered a bunch of Chinese food, and that's my meals for the week because I've been sick, so I'm not cooking. I'm just making whatever's available, and yeah. So, anyway, that's me. I'm just eating Chinese food. Like, I would be doing more cooking, but now I had to go and get sick.
Any other recipes, James, that you'd care to share?
Stuffed peppers, stuffed bell peppers. Ooh. This evening, which turned out phenomenally. Beef, rice, other peppers, so it was kind of cannibalistic, weirdly. Cheese, and sautéed onions and other stuff. It was just spectacular.
I like to use sausage, like pork sausage.
Oh, I want to use chorizo.
That would be good.
Chorizo would be amazing. Yeah,
chorizo and rice would be... my mouth is watering just I'm talking about it.
I do love that stuffed peppers.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have been... I got a book. Oh, I bought a book
I'm
online.
I'm so impressed.
Okay.
I'm so proud of you, Salsa.
And it sounds pretty simple, because if you've ever been to my house, you know that I've got a lot of books. But this book is something that I have wanted for the last 2 decades. Literally. That, no hyperbole there. 2 decades I've wanted this. It was... So a few weeks ago, somebody posted on Facebook a thing about the wild finds in libraries. Like, if you just go looking through libraries... Some of the books that you find in there are just what somebody wrote a book about this, and it started this thread of people commenting on this, and the one for me was a book in college. I used to work when I was in college. My work study was in the library,
sure.
And so I spent a lot of time in the library, and we had a section on it was in the history area on Renaissance history.
Okay.
And I basically went through all of those books at one point or another in my time at that college. But one book that stood out to me was this little book. It was probably only 6 inches by 9 inches or so, and only about a half an inch thick. Not a big book. Only like 200 pages. But it was... Sex Crime in Renaissance Venice.
Oh.
Jeez.
Which is just a really bizarre...
Some light reading, then.
What's that?
Some light reading,
exactly.
Then.
I mean, this was a college library. It's an academic library. But I was just like, this is... Somebody wrote a book about this, so I'm going to read. And it was amazingly fascinating. Because they start by talking about the society of the time and, you know, relationships and the laws around sex. Obviously, homosexuality was illegal. Fornication was illegal. Incest was illegal. What's the word I'm looking for? That too, sodomy. when you have sex with somebody who's already married.
Adultery,
yes. Adultery was illegal. And so they kind of lay down the societal framework, and then they go through a bunch of legal records from the time, and they kind of paint this picture of the kind of crimes that people were committing and the sentences that were being handed down because of it. And then they get into like a breakdown of the nuns that were having sex. And then they get down into a breakdown of like the socioeconomic groupings of nuns, like nuns from nobility and how many of them were having sex versus nuns from peasant class and how many of them were having sex. And it's just really, really interesting, you know?
That is fascinating.
It was. But it's one of those books that I've kind of wanted forever, but it's an academic book. And so it was like $80 at the cheapest,
okay.
You know, and I really can't justify 80 bucks for a book that is just
for a spec book.
Exactly. And so it's kind of always been in the back of my awareness that this is some, and every 5 years I go and look it up and see, but because of this Facebook post that happened just a few weeks ago, I looked it up again and I found it for like $15. And so I fucking bought it, and it arrived in the mail today. Jeez. And I'm fucking happy about it.
I'm so excited for you, Salsa.
So if anybody is interested, it is called The Boundaries of Eros: Sex, Crime, and Sexuality in Renaissance Venice. And it is just bizarrely fascinating for anyone who likes that sort of thing. There's also a series of books, by the way, if this is something that interests anyone, called The Sex Lives of books. And there's like The Sex Lives of the Popes, and The Sex Lives of English Kings, and The Sex Lives of famous opera people, and The Sex Lives of composers, and it's just, they're really interesting.
That does sound fascinating.
Sexual history is something that I have studied a lot in the past.
I've just spent my time creating a sex book.
It was an interesting... So. Look, I know what everybody's thinking right now, but it is a legitimately interesting field of study.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it a lot. I'm really glad we don't have Joe on this week.
So anyway, that's what I've been up to.
Very cool. Couple of things. First of all, I cleaned out the storage area. Woo-hoo! And by that, I mean my daughter cleaned out the storage area. I'll intertwine this story with my current story. As I said last week, I am sick. I am still sick. I had a virtual doctor visit, a phone call doctor visit on Friday. And I said, all right, doctor, here's all of my symptoms. And he's like, what about this? I was like, oh, yeah, I have that, too. He's like, what about this? I'm like, yeah, I have that. He's like, what about this? And I'm like, no, I don't have any shortness of breath. He's like, okay.
All my breaths are short. I'm tiny.
No. Actually, I've got really deep lungs. This is a weird thing, you guys. If I go to the dentist and they go to give me, like, the nitrous where you breathe in deep, it takes me 15 minutes longer because of how big my lungs are. And then it takes me like a half an hour to get it all out of my system because my breathing has to be consistent to get it all out.
Huge
lungs, just massive lungs.
Just bulbous.
Are they bulbous? Anyway, no. Anyway, so he's like, what about shortness of breath? I'm like, no, I don't really have any shortness of breath. He's like, fever? I'm like, the highest my temp's gotten is like 99.7. And he's like, that's not really what I'd classify as like a fever. That's an elevated temperature. I'm like, cool, whatever. That's what it is. And he's like, well, so for everything that you've described to me, like I would, I mean, you qualify for coronavirus testing, and I'm like, oh, goody, yay!
That's what everyone wants to hear.
Yeah, he's like, you can't, because you're obviously too healthy to be an at-risk person for, all this other stuff. If you were having shortness of breath or had a fever over 100.4, then I'd recommend going in and seeing if they could run a test or double checks and stuff. You have a question?
Yeah, and you are like immune compromised, right?
Kind of. I have a greater risk of catching things because of a lot of the things that I have going on with my body. Immune compromised is it's kind of, there are different things that can fall under the way people use the term immune compromised.
Sure.
I don't have anything that's going to prevent my body from being able to take care of itself. Like fully. There are certain things that are harder for my body to do to take care of myself. This is not one of those things. I am almost always way more likely to catch anything that's floating around, because of just how my body does. It's not good at preventing things from getting in. it is pretty good at taking care of things once they're in for getting out. Yep. Except for certain things that involve
Chinese food.
Yeah. like I have if the things that I need to be concerned about are more things that are going to affect my blood, any kind of blood thinning or anything that's going to affect clotting or iron intake or things like that. Those are things that are very specific to. And with that, anything that can be more heart effective can be an issue. I also have certain liver concerns. So if things are going to go straight to the liver, well then boy howdy, I gotta keep an eye out for that one. But yeah, it's people use the term immunocompromised or immuno whatever as like this term for, usually it's your body can't fight off viruses, and that's not accurate. As far as like, people use it for 18 million different things. So using that word specifically isn't going to tell you the story, is what it comes down to. When people say immune compromised, as far as coronavirus is concerned, there are some very specific things that people have in mind, and things that heighten risk for it. Specifically, if you have a history of asthma, or if you've had pneumonia or bronchitis or any of those other lung related things, plus any of the things that can make it difficult for your body to fight off viruses. Those would be the things that they're more concerned about there. So to answer your question, kind of, how's that? But yeah, so, going back, I talked to the doctor and, he was like, you totally would qualify for testing if that was something that was if you were having problems breathing, if you had a fever, things like that, definitely. You would totally go in and get tested. You're not. So don't. He's like, if you can find if there is a place that's doing it, if it opens up, go for it. But right now, because there's such a limited number of tests and so many people that need it more than I do, it doesn't even, like, I called a couple of places just to check and they're like, no. I was like, cool, keep on keeping on. So basically what it comes down to is there's a very good possibility that I have coronavirus, but there's no way to know for sure. And in that, I've been doing a lot of reading on life cycle of coronavirus, which is really hard to find, by the way, because several bodies react differently to it.
Yeah.
And it's so new, we just haven't had time.
Kind of. But there's so much, I mean, a part of it is that there's so much of a focus on coronavirus as it affects high-risk people, because right. There should be a focus on that, because high-risk people. But that means that so much of the focus is on that, that there are some people that think that's the end of the story, and that's not accurate. In the reading, one of the things that I've been experiencing is there'll be times where I feel great, and there'll be times that I just feel beat. I'm tired, I'm dead, I'm exhausted. One of the biggest things is, like, if I go to do the dishes, 10 minutes later, I'm like, I've got to sit down. I'm fucking exhausted, man.
Yeah.
And that is a very common thing for people that have coronavirus that aren't busy dealing with, like, struggling to breathe. And even there was one person that I read about who had been hospitalized because they were having difficulties breathing. After a week, they were sent home from the hospital, and they've just been going through these cycles of feeling fine for a couple days and then feeling sick again for a while. Mm. And they've been doing this for like 3 weeks now, I think. So, yeah, like, it's one of those things that, number one, it's hard to tell because we're not focusing on that aspect of it, because there's more of this higher risk thing to focus on. But it's also just hard to tell because of the nature of the beast, right? Like, if you just start feeling better, then you're feeling better, right? Why would you pay attention to those things? What was I going to say? So anyway, so there's a good possibility I have coronavirus, which is really frustrating.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, yeah, I understand. No, you don't understand. And I'm going to say it because when I say it's frustrating, people are like, oh, because, you know, you're just scared that everything's going to go poorly, or you're it's such an unknown thing, it's frustrating. And those are frustrating aspects, but that's not what's frustrating about it. It's everybody else's reaction to the fact that I might have coronavirus. There are people that, number one, will just freak the fuck out. Be like, oh my God, you're going to die. I'm like, no, I'm not going to die. Well, I mean, eventually we all die. But like, you know, I'm not currently in a state of need. Obviously, I'm fine. I sound great. I've been making faces at James for most of the evening. Like, yeah I'm doing fine.
But I just thought that was your normal face, actually.
It is my normal face. my normal face is to make faces at you, James.
That's true. That's I appreciate it.
Yeah. But people will hear coronavirus and freak the fuck out.
Yes.
And yes, it's something that we need to be careful of. I've been home alone, well, like with my daughter, for the past couple of weeks on lockdown, right? I'm not spreading it anywhere. I wasn't going out to parties before that. Like, I think the last party I was at was a month ago. Yeah. Pi Day, a month ago, which is way outside of the spread for this whole thing. Like, I didn't get it from there. Nobody from there got it from me. It's totally outside of this thing, right? And people are like, oh, well, and here's the other part of it that is really, really frustrating is the grilling that you get, whether it's well-intentioned or not, but the grilling that you get about what your lifestyle has been like to where you could have Corona.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a virus. It doesn't care what the fuck my lifestyle is. There are things that you can do to decrease your risk. There are things you can do to make the risk of it like 98%. You're 98% unlikely to get this. But if you go out and get groceries and somebody coughed on something you just picked up, fuck it. And that's the other hilarious thing is that I literally have not been outside in over 2 weeks. The last time I went out was to do grocery shopping with my brother before I locked down for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Right? So I followed everything to the letter, but I must have done something wrong or else I wouldn't have coronavirus. And that's shitty. That is so frustrating. I can't even. So then the other biggest frustrating part is people giving well-intentioned advice on what I should be doing. And I'm just like, bitch, I've been raising myself for these past 30 years. Go away. I know me. I know my body. Like, I haven't asked you for help. I've been doing all of the reading. I have been on the CDC website and the Minnesota Department of Health websites since the end of February. I guarantee you, I have been paying attention to this and what information is the latest out there. It's super frustrating to have all of this. And people that haven't talked to me in years being like, oh, I hope you get better soon. And I'm like, okay. Like, cool. How do I know you again? Like, it's just more input that's happening to me at a time where I'm already getting massive amounts of input from people because everybody wants to help or has a judgment or is trying to do something to feel like they have control in a situation where there's no control. There just isn't.
Yeah.
And that one very specifically goes back to the whole, like, the judging, blaming of if you got sick, it's because you did something wrong. No, it's
victim blaming.
Yeah, it's, well, and it is.
Were you wearing a mask? What were you wearing? You must have been asking for it, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I mean, I was. I literally stood in the middle of the grocery store saying, everybody cough on me. I would like to get coronavirus.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, and then somebody was like, oh, well, can you trace back everybody you've been in contact with over the past 2 weeks? I'm like, yeah. The list is exactly 4 people long. That.
Mm-hmm.
And that's including me. Like, what? Shut up. Oh, well, how far back does that go? Like a month. Shut your whore mouth. God, don't be so judgy about this. No, don't make assumptions about my lifestyle. And that's what's frustrating, is that there is assumptions. Mm-hmm. There's assumptions on what I should be doing. There's assumptions on what I have been doing. There's the assumption that I'm just going to die. That one's delightful. There's the assumption that I need encouragement, which is well intentioned, but still an assumption and still driving me up a fucking wall right now. It's just I don't need 150 comments, DMs, whatevers over the course of a weekend on what I should be doing, how I should be feeling, anything like that. It's draining. And I don't have time for that shit because this sickness is draining. It's already making me tired. So yeah, that's my rant about that, you guys. But yeah, I don't know. You guys have questions about what is probably coronavirus? Anything you want to know? Now that I've ranted.
I mean, not really.
Hmm.
I've also been trying to keep up with information on it, and so I really can't think of any. I've heard testimonies from a couple other people who have had, you know, talking about how what their experience was. But, yeah, they have not touched on how draining it is for people to be supportive, which kind of sounds like a shitty thing to say, but it is at the same time. It is just like even support can be too much.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there, I will say different people react differently and have different needs.
Definitely. Right? Obviously.
Like there are some people that want all of the virtual hugs in the world. I don't like literal hugs most of the time, let alone virtual ones. I'm just like, but there are some people that is encouraging for. What I get frustrated by is the assumption that that's what I want.
Sure.
Like, no, I've got too much going on. Now you're just another input. I think, I can talk a little bit about how I came to understand that I was sick, which might help some people. Because like I said, Jess and I were going through, so not last weekend, not yesterday weekend, but the week before.
Mm-hmm.
That Saturday, we cleared out the storage room. We emptied the fuck out of it. And we swept and we mopped and we started rebuilding shelves so that we would have boxes on shelves rather than just stacked up precariously. And so we started doing all of that on Saturday, and then Sunday was like, oh my God, I am so fucking tired. Like, even getting out of bed is just tiring. I must have just done a lot yesterday. And then I pooped funny. And I was
through your
like,
nose?
Well, I've been eating a lot of... Huh?
Through your nose?
No.
Because that would be a... that would be,
I mean,
pooping really
funny.
And really gross.
Pooping
through
the eyes would be much funnier.
How about this? I peed out my asshole.
Yes.
Less funny, but...
Yeah.
Not normal.
So yeah, I was like, oh, well, I have been drinking an awful lot of coffee and just kind of eating for shit, like not eating as well as I normally do. So this could all be a thing. And then like Monday, I was still having really bad diarrhea and just not feeling good. And I was like, oh shit, I might be sick. Oh, that's unfortunate. And then like as Tuesday rolls around and I'm starting to get like a slightly elevated temp, I'm like, ah, oh, god damn it. So yeah, that was kind of the acclimation. There's been, I mean, as far as symptoms, it's just GI. I've got so much GI. My stomach is all kerflurbly. It kind of feels like I'm cramping sometimes, but not like uterus cramping, like intestinal cramping. That's like, sometimes I'm hungrier than other times. Like sometimes food just isn't appealing to me. I am tired though. The tiredness, and I have been coughing and runny nose and sore throat kind of on and off, like all of that stuff. But the tiredness is really the biggest thing. Like just the, I'm fine now. I'm sitting and I'm talking and I'm not lifting anything or moving really at all. In fact, I'm kind of trying not to move so that I can stay in frame so you guys can see me. Like I'm just, this is fine. I feel fine right now. But I know if I get up to do some dishes, I'm only going to get about 10 to 15 minutes worth of dishes in before I need to sit down again. I took today off of work because I woke up at 6:30 when I normally wake up for work when I don't have a commute. And otherwise, it's way earlier than that. And I was like, no, I need more sleep. So I messaged my boss, who I've been in contact with over all of this. I was like, I'm not working today. I messaged a coworker to take care of a thing that I needed taken care of today and then just crashed. And I basically slept for 13 hours straight. I haven't had any diarrhea today, so that's great. Didn't have any yesterday either, but boy, howdy, am I tired as fuck all. Like, I'm just tired. I am wiped. I am exhausted. And it's frustrating. Because I feel good, so I want to get things done, and I can't, because fuck me. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as symptoms and stuff, that's... And I did. I felt good Friday, Saturday. Like, I got a bunch of stuff done Friday evening and then through Saturday. Got a lot done. Just Sunday again, I got hit. I was like, nope, I'm going to take a three-hour nap now. Okay. In between Zoom social engagements, I'm just like. Yep, that's it. That's me.
Well,
yeah, listeners have any questions?
It is. Huh? Speaking of Zoom social engagements, I was going to ask how the rest of your game night went.
Oh, it was fun. We played a few things. It was cool.
Good.
All right.
So, salsa?
Salsa. Yep. Should we take a break? And then we'll come back with something a little bit more lighthearted, hopefully.
What?
Yeah.
I know, right?
I mean, if anybody listening wants to know more about my experiences, which are likely, although not guaranteed to be coronavirus, more than willing to... Schrodinger's coronavirus. So... If there are questions about it, let me know. I will answer everything. Honestly or dishonestly, I make no promises, depending on the question asked.
That is fair. All right. Post your questions to Jenna on our Facebook page, or directly if you don't feel comfortable posting it publicly.
Yeah,
but totally. We would love to see it publicly, if you're comfortable with that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey, James, look over there.
No, over the... look at the freaking squirrel, James.
Right there.
There it is. Hey, we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we're going to do a Fast Five!
Fast Five!
Today's Fast Five comes to us from the incomparable Mr. Mud.
Yay!
Yay, Mud!
There is no lead in here. We're just going to go straight into it. Question number one. Matt or Salsa? Oh, shit!
You didn't...
God damn it!
I was bitching about this earlier, and then you had to tell a fucking sandbox joke instead of going to get the sound box, which is what I was bitching about earlier. And he can't hear me ranting about this right now because he took the headset off so he could go get the damn thing.
Mav wrote him in. Mav wrote him in last week, so I got complacent.
You got spoiled. Glad Mav's here to keep you on your goddamn toes.
Question number one.
Thank you.
Matt or Salsa?
I've baby birded by one of them, but I've held hands with the other one.
I'm going to say, who would you rather be stuck in an apocalypse with? Ooh. And the answer is none. But if I had to choose between the two of them, I feel like Salsa would be more handy.
I'm going with me. But yeah.
Right.
Right.
I will also say Salsa. Just because I've had both of their cooking, and they're both excellent cooks, but I feel that Salsa's repertoire has a breadth and depth that Matt's may not.
Are you saying Salsa has more depth?
In this one circumstance,
I am able to make food that doesn't include rice or French fries.
Oh.
Now I want food that's just rice and French fries.
This is
easily done. It's called rice and French fries.
Yeah. Okay.
Weirdest poutine ever. All right.
Yeah.
Question number two.
That's not a dame.
Jerk.
I'm angry.
That's also your... Oh,
that's a ding.
It up.
Not a ding.
It's a ka-ching. Not a ding.
See, I spent all of this time establishing this thing, and now Salsa is just like, fuck.
He is literally
Jenna.
Shitting all
Jenna,
over it.
Jenna, I don't feel like I need to explain my art to you, Warren.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Whoa.
Question two.
Starting to change my mind on that guy.
Beans or Spam?
Yes. Spam.
Beans.
I feel like in a post-apocalyptic world, beans will be more useful.
Agreed.
Okay, but spam goes in more things.
But beans is more things.
Beans is more things.
Beans is more things.
I don't agree with you, James, for the simple fact that spam goes in nothing because it's disgusting and awful.
Okay, so, but if you have a squeaky door that might give away your location, the grease from spam, you can just like jam a little bit of a loaf of spam in there, and that will clear it right up.
It'll give away my location, because then I will smell like spam.
Also that, and also opening the fucking can of spam is going to make more noise than the squeaky door.
But between the two, opening a can of spam makes less noise than opening a tin of beans.
Then don't open either, and I...
Also, don't open the door. Just don't open the door. You're supposed to be staying at home right now anyway. So don't open the fucking door and beans.
Yeah, also the smell of the byproduct of beans will be not as bad as the smell of the spam. And I say this as somebody who eats spam every so often.
Hmm.
You can definitely tell when somebody's been making spam.
Yep.
Ew.
All right. Question number three.
Yay!
Woo!
Toilet paper or whiskey?
Toilet paper or whiskey?
Yeah.
What am I hoarding?
I don't. Whiskey. Whiskey is going to be the answer.
I mean, I literally. I have a couple of rolls of toilet paper left. I didn't buy like mass. I usually, when I buy toilet paper, it's in bulk anyway. So, like, I just had a bunch of toilet paper, so I didn't do the hoarding thing of doom. But I did go out and buy a whole fuck ton of booze. So.
Yeah.
I can't really think of many things where toilet paper would be more useful than whiskey in any way, shape, or form.
I'm going to say toilet paper because I chose spam.
Toilet paper is the spam of this choice? What?
No, one is the direct result of the other.
Yeah.
Question number four.
Woo!
Cat or dog?
Cat or dog? I'm allergic to both. But I think cats are in general I get along with cats better because usually they don't want my attention. And they know how to pee in a box. So
you had a date like that once?
Ew, no. Gross. What the hell? cats can catch mice, and I find that useful. And I know that dogs can bark at, like, intruders or whatever, but I have swords. And swords are helpful for intruders, but not mice. So I'm going to go cat.
My life with dogs has taught me that no matter how much I love them, they bark at intruders because they bark at everything.
Yeah.
Intruders are just on that short list because they are something which exists.
That's fair.
Yeah. But I also feel like a dog can go and get you things. And a cat would just look disdainfully over their shoulder at you and then pee on something you love before knocking it off a shelf.
No, still going cat.
Here's the thing. I can ignore the cat. And I do. Dogs won't let me.
True.
Fuck those needy bastards.
Yeah, screw you, cat. Or dogs. I don't know.
We don't even know anymore.
Cat dog.
I don't even know.
Question number five. Coffee.
Yes.
Or Mav.
Coffee.
Coffee.
Oof.
Which one gives you the shits?
Mav.
That might be Mav.
Which one do I value more?
Mav.
Coffee.
Which one would you rather wake up to?
Coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Which one tastes better?
Mav.
Coffee.
Depends on how much cream you put in. That's
ew.
I can honestly say I've never put any cream in Mav.
Next question.
I don't want to know the answer.
That's the next question.
That was the last question.
Which is good.
I would like that question to go unanswered, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I do not recall any more about that, Senator. Second email. Once again, no lead in. We're just going to go straight into this. Question one, Matt or Salsa?
Mm-hmm.
Who would be worse to be quarantined with for 14 days?
Oh, fuck. Matt.
Yeah, he would drive me crazy.
I'd kill him. I mean, I might also kill Salsa, but I can find more, like, value with... Actually, no. I think I would get along fine with Salsa in a quarantine situation. Because here's what would happen. Here's what the day would look like.
Mm-hmm.
We would both wake up and not talk to each other for, like, a good 5 to 6 hours. Then there would be, like, a meal of some sort. And Salsa would be like, I've already planned this thing. And I'd be like, cool. I'm going to clean the shit out of this other area. And we would both be handling separate tasks and making things go without interacting with each other much at all. And then we wouldn't talk to each other some more.
That is basically exactly what I was going to say. In fewer words, as a matter of fact, the exact phrase I was going to use is, I would treat Jenna like a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You would do your thing, I would do my thing, ne'er the twain shall meet.
I mean, I assume we'd be sharing meals and having discussions on resources from time to time.
Oh, sure,
but other
yes.
than that, like, I'm going to go clean the shit out of all of this other stuff. You can do the cooking. Mm-hmm. We'll figure out resource allocation, how long we need what, and we're good.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, same answer.
All right.
Yeah, as soon as you started to say it, Jenna, I was like, yep, that's mm-hmm. that's correct.
With Matt, I feel like I would have to constantly renegotiate how we were using resources, and that would drive me insane. He might be smart enough to make coffee and leave me alone for the first couple hours.
Whereas
or he would
I would absolutely be smart enough to do that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, whoever wakes up first is making the coffee, and we're not talking to each other for the first 5 to 6 hours. Yeah, no, we don't even need to talk about that. It's done.
Yep. All right. So, question number two, beans or Spam? With store food shelves being bare due to COVID-19, if you had an unlimited supply of beans or Spam, which one would you prefer?
Beans.
I would have beans on toast. All the fucking time.
Beans on toast, beans with rice, beans mixed with salsa, but not like you salsa, but like the actual food
I know,
salsa.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. You can use them to make like pseudo nachos. You can just eat fucking beans. You can put them in chili.
I mix them with hamburger and make a bean and beef dip.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There's so many things you can do with beans. And with Spam... all you can do is throw it out. So
no, apparently you can lubricate squeaky doors too. So
yeah,
and eat it.
No,
first no. one and then the other.
I have literally tried this and failed.
First you eat it, and then you lubricate squeaky doors.
Maybe
it's gonna sound like lubricating a squeaky door.
All right, question number three: toilet paper or whiskey? Your bidet is broken, so you can't use that as an excuse to choose whiskey.
No.
During the lockdown, which one item would you make sure you get your hands on? Still whiskey.
I mean, yeah, I actively did this. Although I do have a bidet, so that was less of a concern. But
it's broken.
It's broken. That's fine. Still whiskey.
Still whiskey.
Like, if I have to... I can wash some rags, or I've got a fuck ton of fabric that I can make butt wipes with, or whatever.
Detachable shower wand.
I can do it, but there is no substitute for whiskey.
Yeah, just, I mean, hell, step into the shower for 2 minutes and clean yourself.
Yeah.
You can't step into the shower for 2 minutes and have whiskey. That's just,
no.
That would be awesome, but that's not a thing.
Yeah. I've got little squeezy bottles. I could make myself a portable bidet.
Yeah.
Like, there are ways around the whole bidet toilet paper.
Yeah.
Not having whiskey, what are you going to do?
It's sad. That's just sad.
Where there's a will, there's a bidet.
Number four, cat or dog? Would you rather be stuck in a house for 2 weeks with a cat that always wants to be in your lap, or a dog that barks every time it sees a squirrel outside?
Cat.
Give me the cuddly cat. Oh, yeah.
I love snuggly animals.
I don't like cats, like, directly in my lap, but, like, if they're, like, at my feet or something, that's cool. I will tolerate a cat for about 5 minutes, and then I get squiggly. But, I mean, that's mostly an allergy thing. God, now my eyes itch. But dogs barking? No.
I was going to say, 5 minutes may not seem like a long time for Jenna to tolerate something, but it is Jenna we're talking about.
This is accurate. Mm-hmm.
Question number 5, coffee or Mav?
Coffee.
If you could have only one in your life, which would you choose? And yes, I know that it is a mean fucking question.
Mav. I'll drink different caffeine.
Oh, I'm going coffee.
Yeah, I'm going coffee, too.
I love you, Mav, but coffee. Delightful.
And I appreciate you, but you are not coffee. I'm actively having coffee delivered to my house every month. I am not actively having Mav delivered to my house every month.
For a small fee, you could.
Nope. Not right now. There's a stay-at-home order, asshole.
Well, there's that.
Coffee doesn't have to stay at home. Anyway, if you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Please, in the first email, put 5 choices, and in the second email, repeat those choices, and then give us the context. We still have not yet had a telephone Fast Five, but hopefully we'll be getting one of those someday, because I would love to see that happen. anything else anybody would like to plug?
Yes.
I, too, have a thing to plug. You go first, James.
Vilification Tennis has Tennis Interruptus happening this Friday, beginning early. I believe it will be at 8 p.m. instead of the usual 10 p.m. time. So you will have an opportunity, if you do not like to usually stay up as late as Vilification Tennis often is, you can stay up not as late and still see some really good fucking insult comedy.
All right.
Jenna?
This Sunday at 7:30, Strike Theater Story Slam. The topic is adventures, and I will be participating in my first outright story slam.
Ooh.
I believe this is a competition. Oh, God. Yeah. 8 competitors. Yep. So I claimed a spot. I'm going to be trying that for the first time. It'll be fun. And yeah, I'll get the link to Salsa to post in the notes. But 7:30 this Sunday, April 19th.
Hmm.
Cool. All right. Both of you get me the links to that, and I'll make sure that it gets put up on the website.
Will do. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Kyle and I are putting together a show. I believe it will be at the end of this month. Sunday afternoon is when we intend to do that. It is going to be the Squire's Wart and Gort doing our usual terrible shenanigans.
Your shenaniganery?
Yes.
Awesome. Anything
so else? There's that.
I have one more thing that I am currently working on. I know last week I said this weekend I was going to be doing readings for Memoirs of a Welfare Queen, but then I got this Story Slam thing. So next weekend, the 24th, 25th, 26th, I will be doing reading of Memoirs of a Welfare Queen, and we'll be asking for donations to Springboard for the Arts, which is currently helping get money out to independent artists during this time where it is very difficult for independent artists to earn an income. So that will be coming up as well, and I will get information to Salsa on that probably next week.
Awesome.
Okay.
What about you, Salsa?
God, no. Are you kidding? I am loving quarantine like nobody else's business. I'm happier than I've ever been. I know that sounds mean, and I know that might sound heartless to some people, and you know, especially people who are going stir crazy right now, but I am just so happy being home and
I'm glad somebody's liking it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm loving it.
I literally have not seen my boyfriend in 2 weeks, and I'm going
and
insane. My
family is here, and so that definitely makes it easier.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I will be happy once they leave the house and leave me alone, too. But but not feeling obligated to go anywhere is the best. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, then I will go ahead and say thank you to Mr. Mudd for sending in the Fast Five.
Yay, Mudd!
Thank you to everyone listening to this podcast. Thank you to everyone who is staying home and flattening the curve. And, of course, all of those people sitting at home, go ahead and get out your baking recipe books and eat that fucking cake.
Bye, love you, bye!
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.